Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
And welcome to the Rediscover Hour. Good to have you with us once again, and where we talk about all things evangelization every week. Every week we have opportunities to talk about, you know, creative ways of reaching out and telling people about Jesus Christ and equipping people to share the gospel around the Twin Cities. Good to have you with us once again. Today on the show, we're going to be talking about a couple of really big initiatives in the Twin Cities in the Catholic Church, and I hope to be able to describe these two initiatives to you in such a way that you would say, you know what, I want to get involved with that, and I want to be a part of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ around the Twin Cities. We're going to be talking about men's ministry, and I want to share with you some really exciting developments about the men's ministry, the men's evangelization efforts in the Twin Cities. But I also want to talk to you about the women's ministry in the Twin Cities, namely WINE, Women in the New Evangelization. So a little bit later on in the show, we'll be joined by Kelly Walquist and Rhonda Zwaber, and also Teresa Tomeo, who is going to be the keynote at this year's Women's Conference coming up February 6th. But in fact, both of the conferences are coming up in February. The women are on February 6th, and the men are February 27th at St. Thomas. In fact, just in the last couple of weeks, went over there and looked at the venue to see how we can make things different this year. But I'm not here to talk about the venue. I'm here to talk about what we're going to be doing and what we're going to be announcing. You know, as I have been privileged to talk to so many people, not only in the Twin Cities, but around the country and around the world, there's one thing that I have noticed, and that is that husbands who are really excited about the faith really want their wife to be excited about the faith. And every once in a while, you run into a couple where they're both excited about the faith. But that's not always the case. And sometimes the wife is very excited. She wants her husband to get really, really excited. Well, maybe you're excited, and that's why you're listening. And you want to go deeper in your relationship with Jesus. And you want your spouse to go deeper into a relationship with Jesus too. So, as I'm sharing with you today, maybe you are a lady driving down 494, 94, and you're thinking, man, I wish my husband would listen to this. Well, listen up, because I'm going to give you some details that you might be able to pass on to your husband, and the other way around also. You know that evangelization is about an encounter with Jesus, and it's all about relationship with Jesus Christ. And you and I, as members of the kingdom of God, have a responsibility every day of the week, 24/7, to be a witness, not only in what we do, but also in what we say to other people. And that's really important. If the kingdom is going to grow and we truly are going to communicate the worldview of Jesus and his lifestyle, his eternal goals, then we're going to have to get out of our comfort zones and begin to share Christ with other people. I want to talk to you about the kind of what I guess I would call the DNA of a movement, the DNA of something that goes viral, and how do we do that? How do we share Christ with those around us in such a way that it begins to grow and it reaches out way beyond our own influence? That's what we want to engage in today, and I can tell you that here in the Twin Cities. And by the way, I just had the opportunity to talk to a wonderful group of Legatus members. We met over at the Town and Country Club over in St. Paul. What a great group of women, men and women. But I also spoke recently to the Knights of Columbus, four different councils. And in both situations, I was encouraging them that we need to get out of our comfort zone and share Christ. But also this. Yeah, we've had some difficulties in the Archdiocese, haven't we? I think we have. You've turned on the news. You've seen some stories. But you know what? We really, really have a great Archdiocese. We've got great people We've got so many lay-driven apostolates that others around the country hear about, and they will oftentimes comment to me and say, wow, you guys really have some great things in the Twin Cities. I mean, listen, you're listening to Relevant Radio right now. That's a wonderful gift that some cities in the country don't have. But we also have not only the largest college seminary in the country, but we have one of the largest major seminaries in the country. We've got NET. We've got SPO. We have the Catechetical Institute. We've got a thriving men's ministry. It's really beginning to take hold, and a women's ministry that is also really taking hold. And we've also have the unprecedented opportunity to begin anew and to realize that the Lord is doing something new in our midst. And you're a part of it. You really are a part of it. When we come back in just a moment, I want to take a few minutes to talk to you about how you can be a part of spreading the gospel in your parish, no matter what the initiative is, whether it's a men's initiative or a women's initiative or grandparents or teenagers, you can be a part of it. I want to share just for a few minutes about that, and then we're going to turn our attention to the women in the Archdiocese and see what they're doing in terms of spreading the gospel around this great Archdiocese. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour, and we'll be back in just a minute.
You, the guy piling groceries into his pickup. You got a truck for a reason, remember? So get some Firestone tires and go do truck stuff. Show the world Rocky Road ain't just ice cream. Drive up a mountain. Make it Mount McKinley. The long link carbon reinforced Firestone Destination AT tires cutting through the terrain. At the top, plant a flag that says do truck stuff. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
Find Firestone tires to fit your vehicle today at Westside Tire, just 15 minutes west of the Metro.
If you need to get there, you need to get here. Westside Tire in Corcoran. New tires from Westside Tire can make the daily drive or the special trips to grandmother's house safer this winter. Take care of basic maintenance now, like tires, brakes, or alignments at Westside Tire. Westside Tire has tires and brakes to fit every vehicle and service people who can get you in and out with a quick and affordable visit. Find out more at 763-420-2100 or westsidetire.net. They'll take care of you.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins. Today we're talking about the two really important initiatives that we're working on in the Twin Cities right now in the Office of Evangelization and Catechesis. One is the men's initiative that we call the Catholic Watchman, and the other is WINE, Women in the New Evangelization. You know, we've been focusing on, you know, developing initiatives for men. And one of the difficulties that we have encountered in doing that, and I say we, meaning that really any diocese in the country, is that oftentimes ministries for men are at a level where most men would not be attracted. They wouldn't see it as something that they do naturally or something that they would, you know, naturally be interested in. But oftentimes we're calling on men on the outside of the parish to go to a kind of a high level if they want to be involved. In other words, we might say to them, well, do you want to be involved in Saint Anywhere Parish? Well, here's what you can do. And this might be, you know, just the guy down the street that you know. It's your average guy that has two kids. He's got a great job, but he's not particularly attracted to the church. One of the things that we say to them is, well, you want to be involved in the church? Come to a 25-week study. Well, the average guy is like, I don't think so. I don't think I'm going to be doing that. Well, say, here's another idea. Why don't you join a catechetical institute for 2 years? He says, well, no, I don't think so. I've got my softball league on that night, and I'm not that interested. So usually what we do is we raise the bar so high for entrance into our community that not many guys find that entrance attractive. And what we want to focus on when we talk about evangelization is we want to talk about pre-evangelization. evangelization, and that is inviting men into the community and to meet other men who have a vibrant relationship with the Lord, but at a natural level. Let me give you an idea. You know, when men are really called to do several things. When they are married, they have children, they're called to provide. And that's something that men do very naturally. They're also called to protect. That's something that a man does naturally. They're called to lead. And that's what many men do very naturally. But oftentimes, the entrance into our parishes does not involve providing or protecting or leading. And so many times we'll say, well, men, we need your help. And here's a couple of ways that guys, you know, typically will come into the church. One is after the Christmas concert, father will say, well, we need some good strong arms to put these props back in storage. Well, some guy will say, well, that's me. Or we need someone to tend the beer tent at the fall festival. Well, that's me. But outside of that, what do we do that is at the natural level that allows a man to really walk in his gifting? And I would suggest to you that one of them is protecting. You know, if you ask a man what he would do in this scenario, which I'll explain to you, which, by the way, I did with about 20 guys. You know, I sat down with 20 guys individually, and I asked them the question, this. It's 2 in the morning. It's 2 in the morning and you get up and you get up and you walk around a little bit, maybe use the restroom, whatever. But then you it's time to go back to bed and you look into the kids' room and your daughter's sleeping and the two boys are sleeping on the bunks and your wife is sound asleep. And you lay back down and it's going to take you 5, 6, 7 minutes to go back to sleep. And you're laying there and thinking about tomorrow's office visits and things like that. And all of a sudden you hear what you think is the front door opening downstairs. Suddenly your heart is beating within your chest. And then you hear what you are sure are two men talking with each other very quietly. What do you do? What do you do in a situation like that? You look for a men's group? Do you start a novena? What do you do? Well, every one of the men that I talked to said the same thing. They said, I call 911, I reach down and grab that Louisville Slugger, or I find that gun or whatever they might have. And they said, what do you do then? And they said, well, then I stand at the top of the stairs. What if the guys start coming up the stairs? Every guy gave me nearly the same answer. They said, oh, Jeff, you don't want to know what I'm going to do. They're not getting up the stairs. And basically, they all said, I will take care of the situation. I'm going to protect my family. And I asked every one of them, who taught you that? Not one of them said they heard it in a homily. Every one of them said, Jeff, it's what men do. Men protect their families. Even if it's going to cost them their own life, they will protect their families. But listen to this. It's worse than we think. It's not just a matter of some kind of home invasion. I like to share with men, guys, you know, I don't blame you. I'd do the same thing if someone broke into my home, but I got to tell you, your family is under attack. Your daughter is under attack. And it might not be from where you're, you know, from an angle that you're looking at, but she may be under attack. The enemy wants your daughter. The enemy wants your sons. He wants their purity. He wants their eternal life. He wants them discouraged and broken. You got an enemy, and you need to recognize that spiritual enemy. That's the angle. St. Thomas Aquinas called it this. He called it grace building on nature. What does a man do naturally? A man protects his family. Men, I know you do. I know you do. But what do you do when the real enemy is coming? You know, Israel 2,000 years ago, they were always fighting empires around them. They were fighting Babylon, and they were fighting Assyria, and they were fighting Persia and Greece and Rome. But Jesus came along and said, there's a bigger enemy, and I'm going to take down that enemy, and that enemy is Satan. And there are a lot of natural enemies to your family today, men. But I can tell you this, there's a supernatural enemy that you as a man need to stand against. We've developed a new ministry that we call the Catholic Watchman. And we're going to be really rolling that out February 27th. It's a Saturday at St. Thomas University in the Fieldhouse, the Anderson Fieldhouse. Bishop Cousins will be there. And hopefully about 2,000 men are going to be gathering. And we're going to be presenting a new initiative called the Catholic Watchman. You know what the Watchman did in the Bible? The Watchman walked the towers. They walked the walls. They looked for the enemy. And when the enemy was coming, they cried out with a shofar, a trumpet, and they let the city know, we're under attack. Men, we need to be the watchmen for our churches. We need to be the watchmen for our families. And so we're developing this Catholic Watchman ministry that we're going to be talking about more and more in the future. Just start sharing it with your friends, with your pastor, Catholic Watchman, the Catholic Watchman. And there's one initiative that we're calling the Midnight Watch. And we're challenging men to own the midnight hour in their parishes to pray for their families. We're going to be talking much more about this in the future, but I want to get you thinking about it right now. Men praying at midnight for their daughters and for their sons, and they're coming together to pray for their spouses, for their own purity. And we've even developed some really powerful prayers for men to pray for their daughters and to pray for their sons. And we're seeing that men, once we share this vision with them, are stepping up to the plate and saying, yeah, I would deal with a physical enemy in my house. But Jeff, I do realize now that there is a spiritual enemy coming at my family, and I am the protector. It's my responsibility as dad, as a husband. We call it the Catholic Watchman. And much more, we're going to be talking much more about this in the weeks and in the months ahead. But it'll be February 27th, the Catholic Watchman. Every man is going to have an opportunity to be inducted into the Catholic Watchman in the Twin Cities, to join in a fraternal relationship with other men, to guard and protect our families, and to guard and protect our church. It's a movement. And you know how a movement takes place? A movement takes place in some ways, you know, it's very much the Holy Spirit that causes these movements to thrive. And it's always going back to God and His power to see a movement thrive. But there's also some intentionality on our part. And that is that we want to intentionally reach out to the average guy out there and say, hey, there's a place for you in this church. And when that man finds that place that he can walk in a natural way, then we can build on that, and it becomes a supernatural ministry, a supernatural activity for that guy who has not found his place yet in the church. There is a law in technology called the law of diffusion of innovation, and it's a fascinating law. And in that law about technology, it says this. It says that in society, there are only about 2.5% of the people that are innovators. They come up with ideas. They come up with interesting ways of communicating. Only 2.5%. You know who one of them is? Steve Jobs. He's an innovator. Bill Gates. He's an innovator. Pope John Paul II. He was an innovator. Who's the greatest innovator of all time? Jesus Christ. He's the master innovator. He is the innovator. And then after that, after 2.5% of innovators, we have 13.5% of society is the first followers. They are the ones who are the early adopters. Were you standing in the line to get your iPhone one day? You're an early adopter. Did you buy the album of Adele that just came out with the new song, Hello? You're an early adopter. No one had to sell you. You've already downloaded the pre-album, the pre-sale. You're an early adopter. But then after that comes what we would call the early majority, 34%. Then the late majority, 34%. Laggards after that, 16%. They never quite get it. Now, that's with technology. How does technology, how does this innovation, how does it diffuse, how does it grow? It grows by the early adopters going out and saying, we're going to do that. In the church, in the parish, there are a number of innovators that have ideas, and there are a number of bishops that are very creative and innovative. And your pastor may be just like that. you might be the early adopter in your parish. The key to a movement is when the early adopters or the first movers grab a hold of a vision and they run with it, and their job then is to affect the early majority, 34%. And so I would guess this, the fact that you're listening to Relevant Radio says you're probably an early adopter. You're probably a first mover in your parish. And so I want to encourage you today, what you hear about the Men's Initiative, in just a few minutes we're going to talk here about some exciting things happening among the women's ministry in the Twin Cities. You may be the key to taking that to the early majority in your parish, and then that early majority will have an effect on the late majority. So stay with us. This is the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins, and we'll be back in just a moment to talk about the Women's Initiative. God bless.
Take me to hell.
Hallelujah, Sister Act. The acclaimed new musical based on the smash hit film is rocking the rafters at Chanhassen Dinner Theaters. The hilarious story of a disco diva, her soulful sisters, and the unexpected friendship of a lifetime. Club singer Dolores Van Cartier witnesses a crime, and the cops hide her away in a place no one would expect. A convent. Why, church has never been more exciting since Sister Mary Clarence arrived. Sister Act is a sparkling romp that'll have you dancing in the aisles to a non-stop hit parade of music by 8-time Academy Award winner Alan Menken.
Look at me, can't you see? She's fabulous.
Get in on the act with Sister Act, the divine musical comedy, on the main stage at Chanhassen Dinner Theaters. Get thee to ChanhassenDT.com for tickets today.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins, talking about the most incredible life you could imagine. And that's being a disciple of Jesus Christ, following him on a day-by-day basis, and looking every day for opportunities to share him with other people, either by action or by conversation or by corporal works of mercy, serving people. And that really is what living is all about. And I want to challenge you today. If your life feels kind of humdrum and you feel like you're in a rut and the American dream has not turned out to be the American dream, and there's something inside of you crying out saying, there's got to be more. There's got to be more to life. I want to introduce you to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who will bring you on the greatest adventure you could possibly dream of. I mean, think about it for a minute. Waking up every day and spending time with God in prayer and then looking for opportunities as you follow him throughout the day. If you can find something more exciting than that, tell me about it because I'm joining immediately. But I haven't found anything ever as exciting as following Jesus Christ. And so we're talking about evangelization. We're talking about discipleship on the show. And earlier, if you just joined us, we were talking about a men's initiative, Catholic Watchmen. And, men's ministry is really different than women's ministry in a lot of different ways. One is that typically men don't look for a church and don't say, I'm looking this week to join a church where I can meet in room 108 on Tuesday night with 10 other men and sit in a circle and share our hearts. A lot of men don't think like that, but you know what? Women, I think, are more relational, and they do look for opportunities more readily, I think, to get together with other women and share and to grow, and that's really what WINE, Women in the New Evangelization, is about. We're partnering with them here in the Twin Cities, and they're also growing around the country. Kelly Walquist is leading that here in the Twin Cities as well as around the country, and today she joins us, and also joining us is Rhonda Zwaber. And I want to welcome both of you to the Rediscover Hour.
Thank you. Great to be here.
It's good to have you with us. You know, last year you introduced this idea of women in the new evangelization, and a lot of our listeners have never even heard of that. Before we get into the conference, before we get into some of the details of what the two of you are doing. And Rhonda, I want to hear how this has affected your life. You've been on the show before talking about your own struggles with cancer and how God has really met you in a powerful way. But before we get into that, Kelly, give us a kind of a synopsis of what Women in the New Evangelization is really all about.
I would love to. Women in the New Evangelization is really all about relationships. It is about inviting women into relationships with other women in order to give us that sense of belonging so we can then have this deeper relationship with Christ. You know, we're all created to relate. And as you just said, as women, we're created even, I would say, radically relational. And as Catholics, we grow and live and learn in community. And so what we want to do with Wine is meet women where they're at in their need, in their pain, in their struggles, and invite them into a relationship that's going to nurture, support, and care for them, and then in the same sense, take them deeper into a relationship with Christ. So Wine isn't a program per se. It really is what you were talking about earlier, Jeff, and that is a movement. It's a movement in the church. And we always look at it as it's a systematic approach with an organic twist. Systematic meaning there's a methodology in what we do, going from the invitation and the pre-evangelization events we run to the evangelization initiatives where we come together in the small group, going forward then to going deeper into our faith and learning kind of the catechesis formation and then the discipleship, sending women on. The organic twist, obviously, is the person of Jesus Christ. And that's what we want them always to encounter and have before them. So mm-hmm. What we do with Wine is we first meet women where they're at in their need. And in the past year, like you said, we rolled out this last year. That's what we've done. That's what we've really focused on is our events. We've had a lot of women, wine, and wisdom events where we come together with a great topic, have a good evening. Our first topic was why we need Jerry Springer in reality TV. So it really grabbed the attention of women, but it met them in a need because it truly was about confession and it was about reconciliation and getting to know God's mercy. And then from there, we bring them into that next step, which is that small group. Mm-hmm. So they have that relationship with other women and they think, I'm not alone. And they grow and learn and laugh with each other. And then we give them the tried, trusted, and true program. So that system of, you know, starting with something very simple, an invitation, and then bringing them deeper and deeper. And
so the women in the New Evangelization is Wine. Is that something then that let's say we have St. Anywhere Parish,
okay.
And St. Anywhere Parish is saying, well, we really do want to reach out to the women. Is Wine kind of an umbrella for that church for women's ministry where you're consciously thinking of the four steps of pre-evangelization, evangelization, discipleship, or catechesis and then discipleship? And is I guess what I'm getting at is that when you think of a typical ministry in a church, whether it's men or women, is that we kind of go after the same group all the time. You know, we have a special women's meeting, we have a special men's meeting, and lo and behold, guess who showed up? And the same people that showed up for, you know, the widget conference or whatever else it was that we were holding. How does this differ in going beyond the early adopters to any initiative in the Catholic Church or women that I would call uber Catholics? They're going to come to a lot of things. What makes this different that is going to go after the 34% early majority that right now they really don't have a relationship with other women and they don't really come to church events?
Right. No, that's a great question. And I think the answer comes kind of in a both and answer. Number one, if you have a ministry already going in your parish and you can add Wine. And what we're thinking with that and what we're seeing with that as we've piloted it is that it brings new life. It brings new life to your ministry. If you don't have a women's ministry in your parish right now, you can start a Wine group. And what that does is it really kind of initiates a flow of bringing women deeper and deeper into the relationship with Christ. The difference is that 34% after the early adopters, to be honest, I think it's kind of a combination of new method, new ardor, new expression in what we're doing with Wine. Like I mentioned earlier, having events that are catchy, you know, something like why we need Jerry Springer on reality TV and then letting people come together. We're not meeting, you know, at that one, we didn't meet in room 108 at St. elsewhere, whatever you said.
Saying anywhere.
I was thinking of the TV show from the 80s, kind of dates me, huh? But we did go out, to a restaurant and met them there. And what we saw, which I thought was great and surprising too, is that the number of women there that were in their 20s and 30s and 40s was huge. I mean, they really were a majority. Mm-hmm. And as I've worked in parishes the last 12 years, it's usually those in their 50s, 60s, 70s, those women that are kind of carrying the torch. So we're starting to bring in that younger group and meet, again, the other thing, meeting them where they are in their need. If their need is childcare, then let's do it. Let's get them childcare so they can have that hour and a half or that 2 hours to be with other women and to feel nurtured and supported and to go deeper and deeper in their knowledge of who Jesus Christ is and his church. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what's really doing it. The name, obviously very catchy. It's not about wine that we drink. It truly is about John 2:5 and following our Blessed Mother and to do whatever he tells you. Mm-hmm. And doing the will of God can be hard sometimes. I don't know about you, but for a lot of us, it can be very difficult. And I think when we're together and we're supported and nurtured by women who are maybe facing the same struggles, the same trials, that it makes it just a little bit easier.
Well, I like some of the ideas that you've come up with, and I know that you have been talking about bringing women together over photography. I mean, Right. Even learning, how do you take pictures of your kids? And it gives women an opportunity to come together, and they start to build those bonds with one another, a trust, and you can go deeper with that and start to teach the faith. With the restaurant, my wife and I joined you, and I don't know how many women were. What restaurant was that in St. Paul?
Oh, were they ever wonderful? It was Old Mexico.
Old Mexico. My wife and I stopped by there, and that place was hopping with, I don't know how many you had, how many women they had in that place. Must have been somewhere under 10,000, but
yeah.
But there was an awful
9,999.
An awful lot of women there, and Marie Miller was there, and it was a vibrant, exciting atmosphere, and I appreciate that, because that's one thing that does attract, I think, the younger generation. And Rhonda, you've been a part of this. Rhonda Zwaber, you've been a part of this for almost since the inception in helping to grow this. And tell me what caught your attention.
Well, putting Kelly's name to it automatically got me interested. A new idea, a new initiative, a new way to reach women where they're at. And I like the focus on the younger generation, because, like you said, Kelly, we've got the older group. They're kind of maturing in their faith. We need these young families to find their faith, because they've got a lot of work ahead of them, mm-hmm. and they need Jesus Christ with them along the road. I was going to the first Women, Wine, and Wisdom. But the idea of the speaker, the talk wasn't as much of a draw as just the idea of being with other women on the same journey, wanting the same thing. Bonus was the speaker. Bonus was Marie Miller last month. And like you said, the energy that was there in that room and the excitement. And each time I brought a different friend or friends. Last time I brought my mom and my sister and some other friends from church. And it was just an opportunity to be social, mm-hmm. To learn of our faith, and to see, look at all the other women that are along with us. And that was what was intriguing to me.
Rhonda is one of the best early adopters ever. She was. She came to the first Women, Wine, and Wisdom. And that night we told women, if you're sitting here and you feel the sense of belonging and you want to go deeper, you want to do more, you want to help us grow, then we want to encourage you to be what we call a wine enthusiast. Mm-hmm. You know, be enthusiastic about going out and spreading wine. And Rhonda ran with it. She was she ran with it and then came back to the conference. You had so many people that you had invited to the conference, so many friends, and that's what it's about. It's really about reaching out and inviting women in to
these
things.
Give me the explain the practical steps of let's say I'm the pastor of St. Anywhere Parish. I'm the pastor of St. Anywhere Parish, and I've heard about this, and I call one of you up and say, I'm interested. What is that going to look like in my parish? Go beyond the theory, but what is it actually going to look like in my parish? And what are we going to be studying things? And how often do we meet? And do we have a leader, or do we? Is this a webinar? Tell me about that.
Right. I can tell you a little bit about what that looks like, and then I'll have Rhonda explain what it looked like in her parish, because she just got done piloting one of our new wine groups. But what it's going to look like, first and foremost, it's going to look like relationship. I mean, I know we keep beating that, but it is. So you're going to talk to one of our wine specialists, Sharon Wilson, Sarah Dom. Someone is going to connect with you and sit down with you and your pastor and see what you have going on. Where are you at in your women's ministry? Are you new? Where are you? Do you have a really good CCW group going? Do you have a mom's group? And then we're going to look and see, how can you add wine? How can you add this ministry into your parish to make everything that's happening there more fruitful? And we'll work with you to see, well, okay, you have this going on. Maybe you've got a group going. You've got moms going on Tuesday morning, and you've got the CCW on Thursday night. How about doing this? How about either inviting them to a Women, Wine, and Wisdom and then launching a book club from there? We start with a book club because it's non-threatening or intimidating. Or how about you do a Wine of the Month right here at your parish? Which just means you have a speaker come in, you have cheese and crackers and pop and coffee and cookies and wine if you want, and then you introduce them to wine. They get like a little taste of it. Mm-hmm. And then we bring them into that small group setting. And what we did is we decided, after a lot of prayer, to start with a simple book club. You know, it really, just so they feel connected to one another, not threatened. And you know, being invited to a book club, it's like, oh, okay, I can do that. So Rhonda just got done doing that, so I'll let you speak to that a little bit.
Yeah, so we invited Kelly and a couple of her peeps down with to our church, and we just put the word out that we were going to have this wine. We truly did have wine there, and chocolate and cheese and crackers, and just to hear a little bit about what Kelly had to say. And I think that was just very intriguing to many women. But we thought we were going to get maybe, 20? And how many did we have?
Yeah, we had almost 70.
70 women showed up.
Fantastic.
We had to move out of our little church library into the main sanctuary. And it was tremendous. I mean, it was just wonderful. And we set off on the book club, and we started with Kelly's book. And we just finished up last week. We met Thursday nights. We divided up. We had we had over 40 women mm-hmm. coming each week and discussing her book. And it was just a great experience. And Jeff, when you're talking about the same women coming all the time, we had a few of those, but we had women that I didn't even know. And
sure.
that's big, because I know a lot
sign.
Of people. And it was great. And we asked a few women that have never been a leader or a facilitator to step out of their comfort zone, and they did a phenomenal job. One of them last night told me that she got a personal note from two of the gals at her table thanking her for doing such a great job. So, I mean, it just gave her the confidence to keep going forward. And so we're going to see a lot more action going on.
Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk with Teresa Tomeo. And Teresa Tomeo is no stranger to Catholic radio at all. And she is going to be your keynote this year.
She is. We are so excited.
So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk with Teresa Tomeo. We're talking about wine, women in the new evangelization. We're also talking about the Catholic Watchmen. These are new ministries here in the Twin Cities that we're very, very excited about. You're listening to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins, and we will be right back to talk to Teresa Tomeo.
John Harper of Morning Air.
Shane Kapler, what are some of the things that we can learn from the prayer life of Jesus?
When we were baptized, we were united to the Lord Jesus. And the Lord continues to pour himself out to the Father through us. St. Paul talks about how the Spirit is crying out, the Spirit of the Son cries out, Abba, within our hearts. And how even when we don't know how to pray as we ought to, the Holy Spirit is groaning within us. He's making intercession for us in words too deep for our conscious minds to even understand. The church, in its great devotions, that's what it's giving us. It's bringing the prayer of Jesus out into the open and expressing it in words and gestures. So as far as a hotline to God, we've got it.
Morning Air with John Harper. Weekday mornings at 7 Eastern, 6 Central on Relevant Radio.
Say a prayer, say a prayer in the night.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Jeff Cavins. Hey, joining us now is no stranger to Catholic radio. In fact, you may remember a number of years ago when Morning Air first began, Teresa Tomeo joined me, and what a great, great friend she has become. We had a wonderful time every single morning, and she has just really, really grown in Catholic media. She's a Catholic talk show host. She has 30 years of experience in TV, radio, and newspaper. Started when she was 3 years old, so I don't want to give her her age. But Teresa, welcome. Welcome to the show.
Yes, I was 3 years old. I'm so glad you remembered that, which means I'm only 33.
Exactly. And you have a wonderful husband, Deacon Dominic.
Deacon Dominic. He's a wind beneath my wings. Yeah, he's amazing. How are you, Jeff? Hey, Kel. How are you?
Good. Nice to hear you.
Good, good. Good to be with you guys. I'm very, very excited about wine. Wine, period. I'm just excited about wine, but I'm also excited
That's because you're
wine.
Italian.
Yeah, exactly. Women in the New Evangelization. All good stuff. I was just listening to the conversation, and I just want to echo everything the ladies were saying. And it's funny because Kelly and I actually really just met we knew of each other, and we've been following each other on the speaking circuit at different women's conferences. And we finally met last year, and it was just, we had a blast. We spoke at the Cincinnati Catholic Women's Conference and ended up hanging out all weekend. And I just really bonded with her and really was very interested in what she was doing with wine. And she's crazy enough to make me a part of it, so here I am.
That's pretty crazy, Teresa. Hey, Teresa, you get around the country and you do a fair amount of speaking and writing, and I believe that you're even doing a radio show that's the Catholic View for Women.
Yes.
Talk to us a little bit about, from your perspective, what is different about evangelizing women? And a couple key things that we need to take note of if we're really going to be effective in evangelizing women.
Well, I think what the ladies were talking about before, approaching this from a very practical and a very real sense, and I think what we've lost in the Catholic Church, unfortunately, because of poor catechesis and how we've been catechized from the culture, by the culture, that our faith can be a beautiful time of fun and fellowship. You know, the Lord tells us that He has come to give us a life and give it to us abundantly, and He wants us to have true joy. And I think a lot of women don't see too many other joyful women around, and that's why wine is so perfect, because it combines everything. And it gets women interested in the faith from a friendship perspective, from a fellowship or a relational perspective, which women are very relational. So I think that's what's so unique about wine. And women need to know the truth about who Jesus is and how He dignifies and uplifts women. And I think that's been lost in our culture, too. You know, we have this so-called war on women, which is so false. It's been created by those who are proponents of birth control and contraception. We've been led to believe that the church oppresses women, which is completely false. And we've been led to believe that there's no opportunities for women in the church to minister, which is false. And so I think when we put something out there like wine, what's so beautiful about it is you're showing all the truths of the faith without hitting women over the head. You're making it very comfortable. Kelly was talking about a book club. You're making it very approachable. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if people have been away from the church for a while, or maybe they just go out to, they're meeting their weekly obligation, but they're not doing much more than that, this really brings it home for them. And I think that's what we need to do more of.
We're talking with Teresa Tomeo, Kelly Walquist, and Rhonda Zwaber about wine, women in the new evangelization. I'll just throw this out to you ladies. I'm curious what you would say. When you travel, when you speak to women around the country, what are a couple of the things that you hear consistently about what's challenging women today? What are they finding as, you know, they come up and say, do you have just a moment? I got a question for you. What are a couple of those things, those items?
Go ahead, Teresa, you go.
No, I was just going to say, a big one I always hear about is time. They just do not have time to do anything. I mean, they're so overwhelmed because women are multitaskers to begin with, and we take care of everybody else before we take care of ourselves. And even though women are much more liberated, quote-unquote, than they were back in the 40s and the 50s, they're still doing most of the housework and most of the responsibility when it comes to the child care. So I think time. And I think also they feel very cut off in terms of maybe many of them have had abortions, maybe they have been in relationships that do not, you know, muster up the church teaching, so to speak. So they many times feel that they're not good enough for God. They've mm-hmm. committed too many sins.
Sure. I think that's also common with a lot of men, and I would put it under the category of shame. You know, mm-hmm. a lot of people yeah, really are struggling with yeah. shame. And, you know, you meet your average person on the street that might be 40 years old, and you know, there's a lot of things that have happened in their life that maybe they're hiding, or maybe they're self-medicating, or maybe they're running from something. And it seems to me that that something like wine, Women in the New Evangelization, gives them the opportunity to bond with other women and begin to share and to say, you know, what the speaker said or what the book is talking about, that's my story too. And I think that's mm-hmm. powerful.
That's what I was going to say. Many of them find that we share the same struggles. You think that you're alone in your pain or in your grief, but all of a sudden you're sitting at an event like this and you're talking to the person, and you kind of, I think we make like a first judgment on that person and think, oh, they're holier than thou kind of thing. And then you're talking, and whatever your struggle is, that woman may have gone through it. You know, one of the things I hear a lot when I'm speaking is women who are just falling in love with their faith, but their husbands aren't quite there yet. Mm-hmm. And so to be able to talk to another person or another woman, like, well, what are you doing? How are you getting through that? Or maybe it's a woman who sitting next to you who fell in love with her faith 20 years ago, and just last week her husband came into the faith. You know, so it's really a bonding there. But yeah, it's true. What Teresa said, it's a connection.
It is an interesting dynamic, and I'm sure that you all have run into ladies that have experienced this, and I've run into men that have experienced it. And that is, you know, if the wife is very excited about her faith, she's leading her children into CCD and driving them back and forth and signing them up, and her husband really isn't into it, there's a certain dynamic to the relationship where a woman needs to bond with other women, and they need to encourage each other. But like you said, when the husband does come in, that's a whole nother dynamic too. And sometimes it can be a negative where it's like, well, it's about time. and she is so used to for lack of a better word, running that program in the family, that he finds it very difficult to find his place. And I would imagine that that's a common denominator among many women.
Yeah, it would be great if we could help women, you know, say, support them, encourage them when they come in, have that positive affirmation. Mm-hmm. Instead, but you're right. I think that natural thing would be like, where have you been?
I've been running this show for.
So maybe we teach them, try not saying that. Say, glad you're here.
Yeah, very good. So, Teresa, when you come to the Twin Cities, that's going to be February 6th. And I know you don't have time to, you do talk fast, but I know you don't have time to give the whole talk right now. So I'm kidding you. If you're just listening to the show, Teresa and I have years of experience together, so in talking on radio and having a great time. And by the way, thank you for that time years ago on Relevant Radio. It was so fun to work with.
But you're great to work with too.
What are you going to be talking about? Do you have any idea yet what you're going to be sharing with these ladies?
Well, yeah, I'm going to be giving my testimony and taking it from the total perception of mercy, the total view of mercy, because, of course, we know we're going to be in the year of mercy for a full year, this Jubilee year of mercy, starting on the Feast of the Immaculate Conception. And, you know, my testimony, everybody has a testimony, everybody has a story of how they came back to God, but every time I look back at my life, it's just, if you would have told me that I would have been married, that Dominic would be a deacon, and that I would be on Catholic radio writing books, encouraging women and everyone to embrace the beauty of the Catholic Church, I would have said, I don't know what you're smoking or drinking, but I want some of both. Because it just wasn't. I was so far away from the faith, I was so secularized, I still called myself a Catholic, and Jeff, you know my story, and Kelly and Rhonda do too, but I mean, just, it's all mercy, it's all grace. And the other thing too I want to talk about is this whole idea of mercy. Some people in the culture, especially the secular press, are saying, well, mercy means, yes, we're forgiven and now we can do whatever we want. No, we don't need mercy unless we're starting from a need of conversion. And so this whole idea of mercy is to help people recognize that God loves you right where you're at, but he doesn't want to leave you there. He wants to move you closer sure. in a relationship with him. And so we're all on this ongoing path of mercy and reconciliation every single day. But, you know, the world says, oh, mercy means I can say, yeah, I did this, that, or the other thing, whatever it may be, but I can continue doing that because God forgives me. They've got it quite the opposite.
Yeah, I've heard it said before, he loves you, Teresa, just the way you are, but he loves you so much he won't allow you to stay just the way
exactly.
you are.
Exactly.
He
right.
wants you to come closer and closer. Kelly, who are some of the other people that are going to be at this February 6th Wine Women in the New Evangelization? Where is it going to be?
It's going to be at Mary Mother of the Church in Burnsville. And just like wine is systematic with that organic approach, so too is this conference. Where, as Teresa was talking about receiving mercy, we're going to start with Laura Sobiak. And she's going to talk about encountering God's mercy and what that means.
And for those of you that that might not be a name that rings a bell, Laura Sobiak is the mother of Zach Sobiak, who in the Twin Cities was struggling with cancer and just a couple of years ago.
Right.
And their story is so powerful. And that song, Clouds, went to number one on iTunes. So
yeah.
Laura's going to be joining
us. She's going to talk about encountering God's mercy. Teresa's going to be explaining to us how we receive those graces of God's mercy. So often we think we have the Wayne's World, I'm not worthy of this, and we're not. But God still pours it out abundantly. And then we've got Barbara Heil, who's been a part of Wine and has spoken with us before. And she's going to be talking about what Pope Francis is showing us, and that is being ridiculously merciful, about going beyond the surface. Like I've heard you say so many times on the radio here, Jeff, that everybody has their struggles. That person zooming by you at 90 miles an hour, they have their pains. And so we have to do what Pope Francis says and look beyond that surface into the heart and recognize that it's a heart capable of generosity.
Fantastic. So that's the theme, mercy, encountering boundless love. The Wine Conference coming up February 6th. You may be asking, why are we mentioning it now? We got Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's between. And the reason is this. You're an early adopter. If you're listening to Relevant Radio, if you listen to Catholic media, most likely you're an early adopter. We need you. And we're asking you to go out and to begin to share with your pastor, with the DRE in your church, and to let people know about it.
Yeah, and I would say sign up now.
You sold out last year.
We have sold out of everything we've done. Praise God. I mean, there's such a thirst out there for wine. No
Very
pun
good.
Intended. Right?
And Teresa, we look forward to having you back in the Twin Cities on February 6th. And God bless you on all that you're doing in Catholic media and your books and all of your speaking. You're doing a fantastic job. You've done us proud.
Well, thanks, Jeff. I learned a lot from you, and I still do. You're a great teacher, an amazing Bible scholar, and you're a really good friend. So thanks for the opportunity, and can't wait to come back to the Twin Cities. It's going to be fun.
Thank you. God bless you. That's Teresa Tomeo. And Teresa, where can people find out more information about what you're doing today?
Oh, just go to my website, teresatomeo.com. Teresa without an H, as in Teresa of Avila.
Very good. God bless you, Teresa.
You too. Bye-bye.
Appreciate it. Well, Kelly, thanks for joining us today. Rhonda Zoeber, thank you for joining us. And God bless you on Women in the New Evangelization, the wine efforts, starting here in the Twin Cities and branching out all over the country.
Absolutely branching out. And they can go to CatholicVineyard.com to find out more information and to register for the conference.
Love that name, Catholic Vineyard.
It's a good one.
.com. God bless you. Well, Paul, every week we always end up in the same place, and that is there's much more going on. Yeah, there is. This is a great archdiocese. What do we have going?
It's amazing. The Worldwide Marriage Encounter Weekend, for example, is a weekend for married Christian couples who value their relationship and desire a richer, fuller life together. Attend a Marriage Encounter Weekend and learn the tools to keep your marriage strong. Retreat takes place November 20th through 22nd at the Franciscan Retreat Center in Prior Lake. Find out more at TwinCitiesWWME.org because your vocation deserves it.
Catholic musician Danielle Rose will be leading a women's conference on November 21st at Pacelli High School in Austin, Minnesota from 9 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon. Danielle Rose will be presenting her talk, God Called Me to Enter the Mama Monastery. The registration fee is $18. Seating is limited, so register early at www.dow.org/faithformation.
Mark your calendars for November 21st and 22nd for a fun shopping experience at the Fall Market at St. Therese Catholic Church in Deep Haven. Stock up for holidays with baked goods and gifts, including a bake sale, country store, silent auction, raffle, books, and puzzles. Open Saturday 9 a.m. to 7 p.m., Sunday 9 to noon. For more information, visit the parish website, st-therese.org. That's st-therese.org.
Our Lady of the Prairie Catholic Church in Belle Plaine will be holding a waffle and ham breakfast on Sunday, November 22nd, from 8:30 in the morning till noon. All proceeds benefit the Our Lady of the Prairie 6th grade Wolf Ridge Lodge Environmental Learning Center trip. All-you-can-eat waffles with lots of toppings. Free will donation will be accepted. For questions on the breakfast, contact the parish office at 952-873-6564.
The Grandparents Apostolate of Saints Joachim and Anne invites all grandparents to a day of encouragement, prayer, and fellowship. That's followed by a presentation by Father John Klockman, Assistant Director of Spiritual Formation at the St. Paul Seminary School of Divinity. Sign in on Monday, November 23rd, 8:45 a.m. in Steiner Hall of Nativity of Our Lord Catholic Church in St. Paul. Refreshments will be served. For more information, visit the parish website, nativity-mn.org, or call the parish, 651-696-5401.
And St. Jerome Catholic Church in Maplewood will be hosting a Eucharistic Miracles exhibit. This photographic exhibit includes 126 historically documented Eucharistic miracles from around the world. All are welcome to this free exhibit being held November 13th, 14th, 15th, and 16th from 8 in the morning till 8 in the evening. For more information, visit the parish website at www.stjerome-church.org. That is stjerome-church.org.
And what's coming up next week? Another big show.
Another big show for the Rediscover Hour. We want to give thanks for God's many blessings in our archdiocese. We will talk with Academic Dean of St. Agnes Catholic School, Michael Atkins, as well as Fred Blonigan, Chair of the Theology Department. Archbishop Hebda will be joining us also to share what he's thankful for in this Thanksgiving year, as well as Father Michael Becker from St. John Vianney Seminary. And we're really excited about Thanksgiving coming up, and we want to encourage you to cultivate an attitude of thanksgiving, for truly, He is worthy of all thanks and all praise.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.